Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy Sunday.
Amen.
Thank you.
This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? Come on in, everyone. Let's go to the Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We praise you. Thank you for waking us up this day. We thank you for the breath that we have. We thank you for the life that you have given us. Lord Jesus, we do ask that you would be here today. We thank you that your word says that two or more are gathered, that you are in the midst. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that. Lord Jesus, we just welcome you this day. We love you and praise you. Amen.
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 God, sometimes it seems
seems like that's just the best time to trust in you and what the Lord's doing. Everything's wonderful. But Father, I just pray for those times, Lord, where it just feels like we just don't want to get out of bed, or there's just too much to take, or there's no way I can handle all of this. Father, help us to trust in you, Lord God. And help us to know, Lord God, that even though we don't understand, you have a perfect plan. And we just pray, Lord God, that no matter what, you can use us, Father. Even if it hurts sometimes, Lord God. Help us to give up all of our plans, Lord God, and just want yours.
You are.
God, as we're worshiping this morning, Lord God, I just pray, Father, that we just lay everything down at your feet, Lord God. Anything that we're going through, any of our anxieties, any of our struggles, Father, help us to lay those down and really just worship you and just ask your Spirit, Holy Spirit, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to go about this situation? How do you want me to love others? Because sometimes it feels like it's so hard. But Father, I want to be out of the way, Lord God. I really just want to do your will. I pray right now that you are just completely honest with the Lord, whether it's good stuff or bad stuff that you're bringing, because he knows your heart anyway. He just wants you to say, Father, I need you to show me and forgive me, Lord. Or right now, I'm so mad at that person. I'm so angry. But Father, help me to lay that down, because I know that that's not what you want for me, Father. And I cannot be a great testimony to you if I'm constantly failing and constantly not showing that I can be an overcomer, whether it be with anger, whether it be with lust, whether it be with addictions. Father, help us to be free, Lord God. And I'm speaking for myself as well, Lord. I just want freedom. I want people to look at me and see a complete reflection of you, Father. I don't have to be perfect, Lord God, but I do have to be trying. Help us to worship you, Father. Help us to be in unity with your Spirit, Lord.
I will not be ashamed of you, Lord. I will not.
guilt or embarrassment or anything, Father, just to be gone. Like a child who's just hanging out with their parents and playing in the sand or doing whatever, just having that peace, Father, having no fear. I pray that we can be that way right now, Lord God. We can know that our Father is with us right now and protecting us and loving us. And we don't have to be ashamed that we're just children, Lord God. But we feel your love just wrap around us right now, Lord God. I just feel your complete peace, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father.
When Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them ever again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silence." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. And as for you, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through in the midst of the sea on dry land. For my God shall supply all your needs, according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus."
We want to hear the Lord's voice, and to do that, we have to get rid of our own. I pray, Father, that, Lord God, no matter what we're going through, Father, that we'll be able to quiet our fears, Lord God. We'll have you quiet our fears, Lord God, because we know we can't do it. But, Father, we pray that, I pray, Father, that we know who to turn to. And that, Father, when we feel like we don't have a good footing, Lord God, that we just open up your word where it tells us over and over and over again that you're not only going to protect us, you're going to be with us, you're going to walk with us, Lord God. Your Holy Spirit is going to guide us, Father. Help us to cling to that, Lord.
Truly the only God. Truly, oh.
this and the whole able to keep us from falling, I just think about when I was 19 and when the Lord finally was like, listen, either you're going to listen to me or not. You know, at that point, I was in a lot of sin in my life and a lot of addictions. And, you know, my sister once told me, she said, you know, Amy, the Lord's going to keep calling to you. And he had been for years. I even was baptized, you know, when I was 16 because I really wanted to get to the Lord, but I kept going back to my addictions. I chose not to break them because I was so familiar with them. There's comfort and in those things. And the Lord finally said to me, he's like, listen, you're not going to make it. Either you change right now. I've been talking to you for so many years. You have to change now or it's just going to be awful for you. My life at that point was so horrible. It was really bad. And finally I said, you know what? I can't keep myself from falling. I know the Lord is the only thing that can do it. And that's when I dropped literally everything. I packed up my car and I moved where the Lord told me to, away. That's what I needed to do. The Lord is the only one that can keep you from falling. There's going to be some people that think, I'm strong, I can do it. You can't. That's just the bottom line. Don't lie to yourself. You can't do it. Only the Lord can. But you have to choose to accept His health. Or His help, sorry, so you can get healthy in my brain. Yes, His help for you. You have to choose to accept His help. Or, you know, if you're that person that's had the Lord talk to you and call you and you've heard that small voice saying, you guys, don't do that, change, and you've chosen to ignore it, I know from personal experience, after a while, that voice gets really, really quiet. And I'm asking you, hold on and to listen to it before you can't hear anymore. Right now, Lord God, I pray for anyone here, Lord, that has these addictions, Father, that is keeping them from you, Father. You don't tell us to stop all these things because you're selfish. It's because we need the fullness of your love and your joy, Father. I had no idea what happiness was, Lord God, until I gave up all the things that I thought made me happy for a brief moment. Those things fade away, Lord God, and I realized I was alone, I was empty, and I was addicted to things that just ruined my body, Father. Help us into your freedom, Lord. Help us to want to say that we want that freedom, Lord. And help us to be done with all of the things that are holding us back, Father.
To what your Holy Spirit would have us to hear, what your Holy Spirit would have us to see, what your Holy Spirit would have us to receive in each of our lives individually, Lord. We ask for your truth, Lord, to be presented to us, Lord, just even like on a plate, Lord, right to us, and that we would just eat of it, Lord God, that we would just consume that truth, Lord God. right here and right now. Yeah, we wouldn't reject it because it's distasteful or whatever. We would just take in all that you want to say to us personally and individually. We ask for your Holy Spirit to speak through our minds, Lord God, that you would reverse our thinking, that you would reverse the course of our thinking, Lord God. If we're thinking in the wrong direction, Lord, that's bringing us in the flesh or against your Spirit, we ask that you reverse course. Help us to reverse course right now in the thoughts of our mind, Lord God, and go the direction you want us to go. Lord, we're open to your Holy Spirit's leading here today, Lord God. We ask you to lead us, Lord God, in our words, in our thoughts, in our speech, Lord God, in our lives, Lord God. We're asking you to do exceedingly abundantly more than what we can even ask for or imagine as we yield to you, Lord God. So help us in the name of Jesus Christ to bend the knee and to joyfully receive your truth and yield to your Holy Spirit's leading. We ask this today as we go through your word. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord God. Amen.
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 And I'm so glad we did that last song, you know? Bible, raise your hand, and one will be delivered right to your doorstep. In Jesus' name. All right, we have two cookies left. Does anybody want one? One for you. One. You know what I really like? I really like the beauty of being able to, even during the worship time, I really love the freedom and that, you know, I still appreciate when things are shared. And I still appreciate that the Lord led Amy to share some of those things during the song. I'm so thankful that the Lord prompted Nate to sing that song at the end, to step out in faith. And I'm so thankful that the Lord used Mark just to speak that scripture that the Lord put on his heart. And you have that freedom here, too. If the Lord has put something on your heart, you know, you are welcome to say, you're welcome to come up and pray, sit, stand, you know. But we want to be yielding to his Holy Spirit in whatever we do. Lord, what would you have me to do right this second? You know, if you're here today, then God's got you here. That's a pretty amazing feat for some of you out here today. Because I feel like we're going to cover a chapter that, Romans chapter 8, that a guy by the name of Barnhouse said, man, if a Christian has a Bible and he drops it, it should fall open to Romans chapter 8. And the reason why he said that was because what he meant by that, I should say, was that in a Christian's life, there's so much in Romans chapter 8 that is so freeing, as it talks about life by the Spirit and not by the flesh, that our Bibles should be so used to being opened in Romans chapter 8 that if it gets dropped, you know how that you have that place in your Bible that just opens to there? That's where it should open to. Because there's so much stuff that's in Romans chapter 8. And there's a truth in today's lesson that if you get it, that if you will receive this, if you will grab onto it by faith in Jesus' name, that will actually change the way you walk with the Lord. That will free the way you walk with the Lord. And so, if you know, even as I was even as I was coming today, I was thinking, oh Lord, I know there's going to be, I was getting texts anyway. I was thinking, oh Lord, just get people here. And so maybe today, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling just anxious and crushed in spirit, then the Lord's got a super message for you today and wants to bring you a truth that will encourage you, challenge you, and free you. And so God's really good to us. So without further ado, let's just want to make sure there's nothing I forget here really quickly. So give me a second just to go through some of these things here real quick. Okay, I'm going to skip all this stuff you have. Okay, church potluck, Sunday, September 25th. That's like, is that in 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay. At the Weaver's house, just bring a dish to share, if you would. Is there a theme?
No theme.
So just bring food and bring a frisbee or a ball or a zip line or whatever you want. Okay, so that's Sunday after church, 2 weeks at the Weaver's house. Also, a weekend to remember, if you guys are at all interested in this, come see us. Come see me and we'll hook you up with this weekend to remember that's coming in Tampa, September 30th and October 2nd. Also, some folks asked me the price on this, and so I went to go buy some tickets. The prices were $19 for a general group, $29 for general, and $40 the day of for Louis Giglio and the Passion. Now, I went to go buy at the men's group. We were going to buy a bunch for the youth and then also for the men's. And then I went and they took the $19 general pricing off, saying that that's all gone. So, unfortunately, we can't get that anymore anywhere at any of the events. So, talk to me afterwards, some of the guys, what you want to do about general tickets, but it's going to cost a little bit more. But anyway, that's at Woodland. And then also, I think the Armor of God Women's Bible Study is this Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm not sure if it's the last session or the next to last, but I just want to encourage you ladies to finish strong. And then also, I would like you ladies who've taken this course, and I don't know all who have, okay? But finish strong, and then I would like you guys, I'm going to open up a little bit of time next week. I don't know if it's 5 minutes or 50 minutes. It's whatever the Lord leads. Is there one thing that God really spoke to you? Or a scripture that he really brought to life for you? Or is there something that God taught you through this course that would be beneficial for us to hear? Because sometimes when God's speaking something and he makes it real and relevant and opens up something in your life, when you share that with others, it opens it up for everybody else. So if you want to do that, whether it be either next Sunday or the Sunday after, we'll probably do it this next Sunday, but we'll just open it up for that. So I want to just put that little bug in your ear. Ask the Lord if there's something that he wants you to share.
Darren,
yes,
I want to make a mention too that it is the last week.
Okay.
It's Tuesday. And there is a potluck.
Okay.
And the girls have decided to have a potluck on this last Tuesday night.
Okay.
So that's, I wanted to make sure that everybody knows.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, you guys know the rest of the youth groups. This Thursday night, 15th. Okay, this Thursday night, if you are interested, we're just going to have a little barbecue, a little food. 6 to 8, barbecue and Bible study. We're going to be going through 1 Kings. It's going to be very casual. It's just going to be family-oriented. Somebody asked me, hey, are we going to have child care? And the answer is yes, but it's going to be you. So, you know, I don't know if we'll be inside or outside. I don't know if it'll be 5 people or 50 people, but whatever it is, it's for some of those folks who want to go a little bit deeper. There's so much richness in the Old Testament that we can learn. You know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there is so much depth and there's so much richness in the book of Kings that that we can glean from people's successes, but also from their failures, what to do and what not to do. So if you want to come out to that, we want to invite you out. And that's going to be Thursday from 6 to 8. And if you're going to come, or you think you're going to come, please tell Uncle Tom back there. Just want to make sure we have enough food. Again, just happy to do it. It's just going to be very casual, a little more in depth.
And so we just want to invite you out. So feed your belly and feed your soul. Okay. All right. Jesus. Whoa. Glad you. It's wake up. It's not nap time now.
I was in a kayak.
Oh, was it? Oh, I see kayak. Oh, that's funny. All right, Hezekiah, you're grounded for 2 weeks. All right. Romans chapter 8. Okay, so we talked in Romans chapter 7. We went through that. And we kind of left off. We were talking about the struggle within. And we'll just be left with this, the Habakkuk with the Living Bible, where Paul was saying, I know I'm rotten through and through so far as my own sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. And so he was going through this legalism struggle, and then he was going through this struggle with his flesh, where he was wrestling with his flesh. He's like, man, my eternity is settled. I know that I'm saved. I know I'm sanctified. I know I'm saved for eternity. But sometimes this fleshly struggle that we have, and some of you have gone through it when you're wrestling with something. You know, you're fighting with a sin issue or with an addiction or whatever. You're wrestling with it. You want to honor God, but you're messing up. And sometimes, you know, if we're trying to do it in our own strength, boy, it just seems like this hopeless thing. Ugh. And that's where Paul was at. Man, he's like, why am I doing the things I don't want to do? And, you know, and now he's going to explain in chapter 8. It's almost like he's coming to the point where, okay, now he's going to answer the question, how do I live this Christian life? And so, you know, in Romans chapter 8, oh, this is guy. This, did anybody know by any chance who Roy Regals is? Just raise your hand if you do. Wow, nobody? Okay. Roy Regals was a football star. And in a college bowl game, the Rose Bowl, California versus Georgia Tech, he's super famous for a 70-yard TD run that he did. And what he did was he was very close. They were a very close game, and it was at the top bowl game, college bowl game. And so they were about to score, and he made this amazing, amazing 70-yard touchdown run. It was, I should say all the way. He got tackled. He got tackled on about the 1 foot line, maybe the 1 yard line, somewhere around there. The only negative thing is that what happened in the previous play is Roy got turned around as he was about to enter the end zone for the game win and got spun around and ran the opposite direction. For 70 yards, he got confused, he got turned around, and he ran in the opposite direction towards the team, the opposing team's goal. So the opposing team started to get up and cheer for him. And the coach said, he said, sit down right now. Because he didn't want him to know anything was going on. So every step that he's making, he's thinking he's doing a great job. And he's going and he's running. And there was a quarterback by the name of, what's his name, Mom. Anyway, he was the quarterback, and he is known for his speed. And so he chased Roy all the way down to the last little bit, and he's yelling at him. He's like, stop, stop. And Roy's like, you know, hey, he's like, this is my touchdown. I'm taking this all the way in. This is mine. You know, thinking that he wanted to, you know, take the glory with him. And so he finally tackled him on the 1 foot line. And it was only then that Roy realized that the crowd wasn't yelling, go, go, go. They were yelling, no, no, no. And of course, they got tackled on the 1 foot line. They tried to kick it. It didn't work. They got a safety. And of course, they ended up losing the game. 7-8. So here is this guy, Roy Rigos. He's called Wrong Way
Roy.
He's known for that name for about 100 years. You know? Wrong Way Rigos or Wrong Way Roy. You can even type it in Wikipedia and you'll see stuff all over newspaper. I mean, it's. And just whenever does any when anybody does anything wrong and they're going the wrong way, this is what they call them. Now, it says in the game that he was the coach. Now, this was he was like an All-American. You know, he went on to be the captain of the football team. This guy had it together, okay? Yet, he felt like he just couldn't get back in the game. That he had completely blown it. On top of that, was prideful about it. You know what I mean? Here his friend is telling him, stop, stop. And he's saying, I can do it in my own. You're not taking this. I'm doing it all the way. And he said he couldn't get back in the game. He said, I can't. I've let down the team. I've let down you. I've let down. I can't. I've screwed up the whole chances for the whole year. Everything. And well, of course, the coach got him back in the game. And they still lost, but he finally went back in the game. But of course, he had a lifelong... well, you know what? Well, that would be the funny thing. You'd think he did have a loser streak, but just the opposite in his life happened. Where God used it and turned it around. Yes, Elijah.
He may have felt discouraged, but I think the other team was treats him now like football leader.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, they were pretty happy with the run themselves. But
they probably awarded him for the night chocolate cake.
But here's the thing. The neat thing about Roy is, you know, although he felt discouraged, although he felt like a loser and a complete failure, and he screwed up and he let down, and he just didn't even want to go back in the game. And some of us here, I think, can understand that. You know, we screwed up as a mom. We messed up as a dad. We failed at work. We've lost our temper. We've looked at something we shouldn't have. We've accused when we should have built up. You know what I'm talking about, right? We've been prideful when we should have been humble. We've been mean when we should have been kind. We've walked in the flesh instead of the spirit. And a lot of us, you know, could stay at that place like where Roy did. But actually, God used Roy in some neat ways in the future where, you know, when people made mistakes, you know, like other football players or that, he would write them a letter and encourage them in that. And God used him in some amazing ways. He went on to be a lot of famous things, even in football. And so, but I say all that to say, too, that a lot of us are doing two things. One is we're trying to run this Christian walk the wrong way. Mm-hmm. We're trying to do it in the strength of our flesh.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yes. We're trying to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, right? And we're going to make it there. No, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop. And we're trying so darn hard. Only to find out we get tackled and we've been running the wrong dang way. Because we're running in the flesh. We're trying to do it according to our knowledge, according to our worldly habits or whatever, according to our own strength, instead of according to the strength that the Holy Spirit supernaturally provides as we yield to Him and to His ways. That's the difference between a Christian walk that is floundering and a Christian walk that's empowering. It's totally different. That's why it's so important for us to know we have that relationship, that ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ, and to walk closely with Him. Because if we don't, it's easy in the battle to get turned around, just like poor Roy. He wanted the team to win. He wanted to win. He just got turned around. Some of you here are turned around. And you're fighting this battle, and God has a message for you here today. And whether you're going the wrong way, or you're mustering it up in your own strength, or you feel so, you know, so much heaped up condemnation on you, you know what I mean? Like you can't get back in the game. I just want to sit out now. I want to sit on the bench. It's safe there, right? You know? God wants you in the game. He wants you yielded to His Holy Spirit so that He can empower you to live the life of victory that you want to live. And so let's open to Romans chapter 8. And let's read, I don't know, I'm going to have somebody read, if you would, the first four verses. If someone would do that for me, is anybody, Romans chapter 8, 1 to 4, does somebody mind reading that? Okay, watch it, go ahead. Man. Oh, let somebody get the mic, oh, you got the mic. Yeah, Pat, yeah.
Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Now, I'm going to give you a little quote. I don't say I got to meet Chuck Swindoll. I got to meet other folks and talk to them, like, anyway, some other Christian folks. But I didn't actually get to meet him. I got to sit behind him at a conference in California, and I kind of put my hand on him, you know, like that, just to, so, you know, touch Chuck Swindoll, you know. But I can't say, you know, like, hey, we chit-chatted or had lunch together. Chuck Swindoll in a book said this, and I really just thought this was super powerful, you know, because here's a man who God has used in mighty ways. Is everybody familiar with Chuck Swindoll? No? Okay. Well, he's been a minister. Well, that's kind of, you're going to ask a question, you got to listen. Okay, so he's been a minister for many years, and he's been a preacher of God's Word, Dallas Theological Seminary. And so he's taught the Word of God for many, many years. He's on the radio. He's been on TV. He's been used by God in powerful ways. He's always got this big smile on his face. I think I even got a little picture of him. Maybe I don't. There we go. He's getting a little bit older now. But he wrote this, and I thought this was really great. He said, "In my own Christian journey, I have discovered that wretchedness seems to be a necessary waypoint. Like Paul, I came to a place of utter hopelessness. I felt trapped by my inability to live in a manner that God would find pleasing, a mode of life that I generally desired. I labored under the weight of condemnation, which is perhaps the most demoralizing feeling a Christian can endure." Can I get an amen to that?
Yes.
He goes on to say, "There's nothing that will drag you to a halt and pull you towards sin like shame and condemnation. And to make matters worse, I was guided by well-meaning people with bad theology. Many churches today preach a gospel that goes strangely silent after one believes in Jesus Christ and only promises to speak again after death." He said, "Saved by grace but sanctified by works in your own strength, that's not good news." He said, "After reaching my own wretched state, I surrendered to the fact that I'm not able to live this Christian life on my own. Only then, having come to the end of myself, and not a day sooner, only then was I ready to accept the truth of Paul's stunning declaration at the beginning of Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Christ Jesus. He concludes and says, this is the cardinal truth of every believer's new life in Christ. This is the truth on which we stand, by which we live, and through which we ultimately achieve victory. Isn't that good? Now, I don't know if that ministered to anybody else, but I can tell you, it certainly ministered to me. And so when we get into this chapter, you know, there's some neat things. You know, when we start off, he's going to talk about condemnation. When we talk about condemnation, that's usually in the past, right? And he talks about that. So he's going to address the past. In the middle of Romans chapter 8, and at the end, he's going to talk about the present, and then he's in the end, he's going to talk about how we're more than conquerors, and how no one can separate us from the love of God, and not angels nor demons, and he talks about even future events. And so God's going to cover the gamut for everything, for those of you who are in Christ Jesus. And so that's why I want to go through the first little bit in Romans chapter 8. Okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Hey, would you read that first one again? Could you mind just real quick?
Yeah, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Okay. Well, the first thing we have to do, I want you to notice, the first word is therefore. Okay, there's just a lot in this. Okay, now therefore is kind of like a connector word. Okay, and so, you know, when he's saying therefore, whenever you see in your Bible like a wherefore or therefore, you've got to ask, what is it there for? It's like connecting a thought. Do you remember, I don't know if you guys remember this, but I used to love this as a kid. I used to watch the Saturday morning cartoons. Remember Conjunction Junction? Conjunction Junction, what's your function?
Yeah.
Looking up phrases. Anyway.
Yeah.
This was one of my favorite Saturday morning cartoons. And so I love this. And whenever you see in the Bible a wherefore or a therefore, I kind of put this in, here's what it does, okay? It connects. Okay, the therefore is a connector word. It connects the previous thought, Romans chapter 7. I said verse 24 and 24, that's not right. But it's like 7, 24, maybe 24 and 25, yeah. And then Romans 1 and 2, the new thought. Okay, so here we go. Somebody read for me what's connecting. Okay, the previous thought. Okay, he's saying, therefore, what is Romans chapter 7, verse, let's say, 24 and 25 saying? Mark, would you mind reading that for me?
Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body and this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself...
Now you can leave, you can stay there. So he's asking, he's saying, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And the key there is not, again, it's not a what will rescue me. Give me 10 steps. Give me a syllabus. Give me a Bible study, even. It's not even a, it's not a what, it's not a how, it's a who. It's Jesus who's going to rescue that. And if you have us, I would circle the who there. And so it's connecting that previous thought. Who's going to do this? Who's going to rescue me? Jesus. Because I feel like this wretched man. If you guys have felt that way in your life, I know I can. And sometimes I do, to be honest with you. I feel like that wretched man. But now, therefore, since Jesus is saving me, who's going to rescue me? Who's going to rescue me from myself? It's Jesus. So now, because Jesus is rescuing me, therefore, we go to the new thought, which is what we just read. So, if you're feeling like this wretched failure, you've got Jesus to save you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? Now, the next word in this, there's just a lot in this. So sometimes I go fast, sometimes I go slow, but man, the Lord was just showing me stuff that, okay, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, the Greek word is noon, and that means presently. And so when I see that, you know, I don't know if you notice this, but in that verse we just read in Romans 7, 24, he says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me? He's saying, I have to fight in this battle. Who will rescue me? Future tense. And now he's like saying, therefore, okay. And then he's like, Jesus. Jesus is going to rescue me. Jesus is rescuing me. And so now presently, so therefore, because of Jesus, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the key is now. Listen, right now, some of you feel condemned. Right here as you sit here. You feel condemnation. Okay? That's what you feel. But Jesus is saying to you, if you allow the who of Jesus Christ to rescue you from this wretched self trying to muster it your own way, get through this faith thing, gotta read my Bible, gotta go, hey, who am I? I think I'm not praying enough, I'm not reading enough, I'm not ministering enough, who will rescue me? Jesus. If you will allow him to do that, there is therefore right now in your life, now, even though you feel like a failure, like a used loser, now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Noon in the Greek. That means this present moment, right now, whatever you're going through, if you are in Christ Jesus, if you have given your life over to him, there is right now, this very second, regardless of what you're thinking, regardless of what you did, regardless of what you feel, there is no condemnation for you. Right now. Now, why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? What now? You paid the price for us? Yeah. You know, flip back a couple of pages. I'm sorry, what? God's gift of salvation. Absolutely. Flip back to Romans. There's a page or two. And you want to bring the mic up here? Carrie, I'm going to ask you to read this. I'm going to ask you, Carrie, to read Romans 5, 1 to 2. Because, and before you do, verse 10 says, we don't know Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says this first. It says that if we were God's enemies, if you don't know him, if you're not in him, if you haven't committed your life over to him, you're an enemy of God. But now, right now, if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. And why is that? Carrie, would you read Romans chapter 5, 1 to 2?
Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And that word you remember for hope is not like wishful thinking. It's
assured.
It's assured, confident expectation. So God's saying, you now have peace with God. I've paid the price. You once were an enemy, and now there's a peace treaty between us. An unbreakable peace treaty between us. I've given you that peace. Peace from me and peace with me. That's an amazing thing. So right now, therefore, there is now no condemnation. Now, everybody open to Matthew 26. I'll start off with Matthew 26. And somebody was saying because of what he did for us on the cross, because of what he did. Yes, that is why now we have no condemnation. But go to Matthew 26, roughly. You see, give me a second. And you remember the story, what's happening. Jesus is being arrested. And he's before the Sanhedrin. And it says that they're asking him, hey, are you the Christ? Are you the Son of the living God? And he tells us, he basically says, yes, it's as you say. And then if you zip down to 26, verse 65, he says this. I'll just read a few verses of Matthew 26, 65, maybe 68. Then the high priest tore his clothes when he said, hey, yes, it's as you say, I'm the Christ, I'm the Son of the living God. The high priest tore his clothes and said, this is blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look now, you've heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He's worthy of death, they answered. And they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you? You see, these were the people who were supposed to receive him. Yet they spit on him. They mocked him. They punched him. They smacked him. They mocked him. You see, the reason why there's no condemnation for you is because he took the condemnation for you. Do you understand that? Look at verse 27. You remember before Pontius Pilate in Matthew 27? He actually wanted to release him, and he didn't. But in verse 27, where's the mic at? If somebody from around that area would read verses 27 of Matthew 27, verse 27 down to 31. I want you to see then afterwards what happened to Jesus. Go ahead.
Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the
praetorium
and gathered a whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him.
I just want to stop right there. Imagine, this is the king of the universe. He's allowing himself to be humiliated. They're all gathering around him. They're stripping him naked. Now just imagine that. A bunch of people gathering around you. A whole group of people laughing and mocking you, stripping you naked. Just that. How condemning and humiliating that would have been. Let alone you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're what's holding them together. You're holding the fists of the people who are punching you together, that are mocking you. Isn't that amazing? Keep going.
And then
verse 28.
And then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
Oh, and by the way, verse 26 says, "Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged." So this is, they did this, but they also flogged him. That means whip. You know, like a cat of nine tails with pieces of bone in it?
Wait, is flogged like a worser way of whipping? Because I'm pretty sure it has like those metal things at the end. So now
it would whip, it would bruise. Yes, that's correct. It would have bone or metal at the end. And so it wasn't just like pieces of strips of whatever. It had that on there. So it was meant to dig in your skin and rip it out. Now Jesus said, "By his stripes, you were what?
Healed."
This is your king. This is your savior. And even on the cross, guys, even on the cross, okay? And during the crucifixion, look at verse, what is it? Eric, if you wouldn't mind, since you got the mic right there. If you wouldn't mind reading, let's say, verse 39 until I say stop.
Okay. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him."
I'm going to jump down to 44. Read that.
In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
You know, the funny thing is, you know, he said, "He saved, come down now and believe in him. He saved others. Can't save himself." You know what? He could have come down right then. But if he would, then no one would have been saved. So he was condemned, mocked, ridiculed in your place. All, not only the punishment of your sin, all that condemnation, all that everything, right? That's why there is now no condemnation for you, because he took it all for you. So that you wouldn't have to. He's that kind of a loving dad. Yes?
It's just the fact that he could have taken it as God and not felt the deep pain, but he took it as man.
Yeah.
I don't know how he took that.
Yes.
Because he felt it like we would have felt it. If he would have been put on that cross, he
yes.
felt it just like you would, that he loved us that much.
Yes.
That he was willing to do
it. Isn't that amazing? Even for the people who were like mocking him, one of those thieves ended up getting saved, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
On that cross.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you thieves ended up getting saved. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
There is therefore now, presently, currently, as you live this life, if you are born again believer in Jesus Christ, no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. So right now, that's why, because he took it for you. Not only that, the next word on here, there is therefore now no condemnation. The Greek word for that is udais. Udais. And that's the biggest Greek word that means absolutely nothing. That's the biggest word in the Greek language that means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It means zero. Zilch. Nada. Zip. That means... Now, let me tell you, what this... A lot of people, Christians, and sometimes even... We read this verse. Therefore, there is now less condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Okay.
Now, we don't say that.
We think it.
But that's what you're thinking. Right? Now, therefore, there is less condemnation. That's not what he's saying. He's saying there is no condemnation. None. Zero. So, whatever that is that you're feeling, if you're feeling like that, now he doesn't say this. No, just give me, he doesn't say now there's therefore no, I mean, he didn't say no failures, right? Or no screw-ups, or no sin ever in your life, right? He didn't say there's none of that, right? Look at Abraham. Abraham said, my wife, she's my sister. Look at David, he committed adultery. Look at Peter, he denied Jesus. Look at Thomas, he doubted. Right? I mean, people screw up. So do you. But there is no condemnation in it. Do you know what I'm saying? Yes.
Don't you think people kind of confuse condemnation with conviction?
I do. That's a fantastic point. What she said was that, don't you think sometimes people... confuse condemnation with conviction, and yes, I think it's easy for all of us to do that, which is why the next word here is condemnation. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. Now, what is condemnation? So let's kind of define that. What is condemnation? Somebody tell me. What do you think condemnation is?
Putting yourself down.
Putting yourself down? Okay.
The root word is condemn.
Yes. What does that mean?
You are guilty.
Doomed to failure? Guilty?
Convict.
What? Okay. What else? Give me some, raise your hands so we don't all say it with me.
It also means that God looks at you the way I'm looking at you. That you're guilty. That you need to shape up. That you need to, you know, get your act together because I have condemned you if you don't.
Okay.
You know, and I think that that's a problem as we think because we have feelings on things about people's sin. We transfer that on to God. And we think that God has those same mm-hmm. feelings. God hates sin.
Yeah.
He really does.
Yeah.
But he loves the sinner.
Yes.
And he wants the sinner to get their heart right. He doesn't
yes.
want them to stay in that condition.
That's
but
right.
he doesn't condemn them because he paid for that.
What else does condemnation, what does it look like? Go ahead.
It's your future. It's your end. There's no condemnation. That's not going to be our future. There may be failures between now and then. There may be sin between
okay.
now and then. But the condemnation is our ending.
Okay. What, when you feel condemned, let me ask you this. When you feel condemned...
There's no way out.
That's what I'm... You feel like there's no way out. Yes?
Accusations without solution.
accusations right. You just feel like it's total accurate. There's no right. There's no solutions. Good.
Ultimate judgment.
Good. Jeff.
Sentenced.
Good. Mm-hmm. When you feel condemned, let me ask you this. When you feel that condemnation, how does it affect your life? Everly, how does that condemnation affect your life when you're feeling condemned?
Hopeless, depressed.
Yeah.
Disappointed in ourselves.
Good. Kelly.
I think I can, you just feel ashamed and like, you know, God can never forgive you. So you start pulling away from the Lord because you feel like you kind of more like base it on yourself instead of God.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, good.
No way out.
No way out. Is that about right, guys?
Yeah.
When you feel condemned, when you look at a life of someone who feels condemned, what does it usually end up like?
It's crippling.
It's crippling, isn't it? And that's to say the least. Yeah, it is. Depression, anxiety, all this stuff, it affects our walk tremendously. This is the definition of God. Anyway.
It usually comes from other people.
It can't come from...
on you. You can do it to yourself.
Yes.
But it's usually started by others.
Well, condemnation can come from other people, absolutely.
That's more.
But it can also come, and maybe that's for you. For me, I've noticed it comes more from myself. You know, but when you look up condemnation, I space this poorly. So, basically, the definition of condemnation, thank you, Bob, sorry about that, is to declare to be reprehensible, wrong, evil, usually after weighing the evidence and without reservation. And the condemnation means to pronounce guilty, to convict. And so condemnation only occurs, that no condemnation only occurs three times in the entire New Testament and all in Romans. The other times are in Romans chapter 5. And it's only used in judicial settings as the opposite of justification. In other words, you are justified with Christ. If you are in Christ, you are justified by Him, just as if you've never sinned. Okay? So, and it usually refers to a guilty verdict and the penalty of that guilty verdict. So, here's how you can tell the difference from one of those questions. Basically, is Satan condemns us accusingly. In other words, he's saying, you are guilty, you are doomed, you are sentenced, you are hopeless, you're a loser, that's it, give up, quit, finito. That's what he's saying to you. Okay? Look at your sin, you're a failure. Just stop. Okay? So here's the difference. Satan condemns us accusingly. He says, the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. He is always accusing you. And he does that to make us feel guilty. God convicts us lovingly to lead our hearts to repentance. That means to go the opposite way. That's the difference. Like, here's something. Here's conviction and condemnation, okay? Conviction is from God. That's showing you something in your heart that needs to change. Okay? Now that might make you feel bad sometimes, but it's supposed to make you feel bad. I would feel worse if God's convicting you about something and it doesn't bother you. So conviction is from God and condemnation is from Satan. Conviction leads to life. He's not doing it to down you. He's doing it to free you. He wants you to be free from that sin, right? He wants you to live the life that you were designed to be in victory. That's what he wants. Conviction ends in joy because as you address those things that he's convicting you of and you step out in obedience and in faith, he empowers you and you're free. So it ends in joy. Condemnation, you suck that in and it ends in sorrow, despair. There's no way out. Conviction makes us want to change. I want to change this in my life. I know it's not right. I know I shouldn't be blank. You fill in the blank. I know it's not right. I want to change, Lord. Will you help me change? Condemnation makes you think you can't change. You'll never get out. See what I'm saying? Conviction leads us to a new identity in Christ. Condemnation leads to our old identity in sin. Conviction brings specific awareness of sin. And condemnation brings vague uncertainty. In other words, Okay, you know you shouldn't be yelling at the kids. That's specific. You know you shouldn't be sleeping with your girlfriend. That's specific. You know that you shouldn't be stealing that time from work. It's specific. You know, God, and I know that I shouldn't be prideful in this situation. Lord, help me to be humble and to show you to other people. Lord, help me to be a better one. It's showing you specific things where condemnation is just like, you're just pretty much a hopeless cause. Give up. I mean, you're just a failure altogether. You stink. You were the mistake. You see what I'm saying? That's what Satan does. You see the difference there? It's not something specific so that you'll change. It's generalized so that you will just feel nothing but the weight. There's nothing you can do. I think it was Neely who said, accusations without solutions. See the difference there? Conviction looks to Jesus. Lord, because who will help me from this body? Who's going to help me? Jesus, will you help me? I'm stuck here. Whereas condemnation, I'm such a worm. And you get so self-consumed with your own thoughts, you don't look to Jesus. You're not praying. You're not asking Him. You're seeking Him. You're just giving up. And then conviction, it ends up being a blessing. And condemnation is nothing more than a burden. So conviction is specific, it deals with the future, and it instills hope in positive thinking. Like, God's going to get me through this. Man, I don't want to be like this anymore. And condemnation is general, deals with the past, and instills hopelessness. Does that make sense, Wendy Jo? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Someone else who I think...
Yes, nice.
The condemnation, we become the sin. We feel like there's no way out, and we actually become it. Where in conviction, it's, you know, love the sin, or hate the sin, love the sinner. There's a way out.
Yes. Yes, God gives you the way out. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, Jackson.
I think a lot of times with conviction and condemnation, it's not even con. You can either choose to try to change what you're saying and try to improve the way you're doing things, or you can choose to live in misery and sin and not to change what you're doing. It's a lot of times a choice, whether or not it's condemnation or conviction.
Yes, and I would add this one thing to that. I would say, yes, a lot of times it is a choice. But, you know, what do you do with that choice? Like, is it Action Jackson's going to try to be better, stronger, more devotions, more? Or is it, Lord, I need your help. See, I need you to empower me here. Will you help get my heart right? See, that's where the freedom comes from. That's where the power comes from. Because the freedom from that sin isn't just in Action Jackson. It's from the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes you yielding to the Lord. Lord, will you do this work in me? I'm just going to obey. I know I can't do this, but will you help me right now?
Yeah, what I mean by that is you can choose this, whether or not to tap into God's power.
Yes.
And let Him empower
you. Amen. Amen. Good. Good.
You said today, when you don't look up to God, it feels like you're just in a really dark pit.
Yes.
Just know how you get up.
Yes.
Just so it throws you out.
Yes. That's right. And Jesus is throwing you the rope. In fact, He's willing to hoist you out.
He'll jump down in the hole and give you the rope and then jump out of the hole and pull you out.
That's exactly right.
He'll set pull you up top.
But no, no, Lord, I'm not worthy of the rope. No, Lord, there's a rope here, but, you know, and you're not worthy of the rope. Let alone, Jesus, you're scurrying down here. No, I can't, you can't, no. No, I won't take it. I'm not going to touch it. Cry out to Him and humble yourself. And He'll lift you up. Yeah. Yeah, His rope is tying you down. Okay, so therefore, there is now no condemnation, okay, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, that tells me something, too. For those who are in Christ Jesus, that means there's a them and a those. There's a difference. Right? Okay, for those who are in Christ Jesus. So that tells me that those says that there's a separation here. This isn't for everybody. There's condemnation out there.
Yep.
You're, in fact, if you don't know Jesus, you're already standing guilty. You're condemned. The only reason that you're innocent is because of the blood of Jesus Christ, who has paid for your sins, and the life he lived is imputed to you, imparted to you. Listen, go to John, everybody, John 3, 16 to 19, let's say. Let's go there. And if somebody doesn't mind reading. Okay, you want to read? All right, Nate, would you mind bringing over that mic? John 3, 16 to, let's say, 19, or whenever I say stop. Okay, I want you to read this, because remember, there's a difference here. The Bible says, listen, you must be born again. That's the whole thing. God, read it.
For God so loved the world.
And wait, I'm sorry, I know. Listen, I've got parameters here. I want you to read it a little bit slower, because here's why. Like, whenever I ask, like, the youth, okay, this is like the Bible. God so loved the world, I give as long as I know, believe in him, and I'll bear forever life. Yes. Okay. Yep. That's right. So I just want you to go slow, because I want you to think about these words, okay? Okay.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Did you get that? Why did God send his Son into the world?
Save.
Not to condemn. I don't want this Jesus. He's trying to do this. He's trying to save you. He's bringing you the rope. You're in a pit. You don't even know it. He's not here to heap dirt on you. Satan's doing that. He's here to save you. You're already in a pit. He doesn't want to condemn you. You're already condemned. He's here to save you. Keep going.
Whoever believes in him is not condemned.
Oh! What did that say again? Whoever believes in him is what?
Not
condemned. If I were you, I'd underline that. Holy cow, you're not condemned. Keep going.
But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son.
Keep going.
This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil.
Okay. So, listen, you already are under condemnation. So this promise, the no condemnation, is only for those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You've come into the light. I don't want to live in the darkness anymore. I want to live in the light. That's the only way those deeds are going to get exposed, is when you're honest with God, right? I'm a wretched man. You're a wretched girl. What? I thought you liked me, Pastor Darren. I do. You're a wretched girl apart from Jesus. Now, hopefully your parents will get mad at me saying that. I hope you say, you know what? She is a wretched girl apart from Jesus. You know? So is my kid. So is yours.
Not my little Timmy.
Yes, your little Timmy. That's who we all are. It's those. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We need to make a choice here, folks. Either come into the light and live the life that God's calling you to, or stand and condemn. You're condemned already in the hole. He wants to keep you there. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those. For those what? For those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Okay? That is huge right there. Those who are in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? What do you think that means? Somebody from back here. What do you think it means to be those in Christ Jesus? What does that mean? Okay, we can all sit here. We'll just look at you. What do you think? Okay, Tilly?
Okay. Being in Christ Jesus is being, is living in his spirit, pretty much. Living in the truth that he gives us through the Bible, and accepting his gift.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Would you agree? What else? That's good. What else? That's good. Thank you. Good job.
Yes. How about agreeing with him? Okay. Agreeing with the Lord and his word about our sins.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people think that they're okay because they have their own way of looking at it. And I'm going to look at it my way instead of the way God looks at it. And I think that's where they're in trouble a lot of times because they're not looking at it the way God looks at it.
Okay. Okay, good. What else? What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Emberly died. Yes. Would you? They were keeping you
in a relationship with him.
Ah. That is excellent. That's right. We're in a relationship. Well, we're all in a relationship with him. But you mean a right relationship. Yes. Good. Oh, there's a couple back there. I want to make sure. Okay, go ahead.
Having God in your heart.
Yeah. Excellent. That's, you know what? That's good. Having God in your heart. Him being in you, and you being in him. You see, guys, when we, in the garden, you know, we used to walk with the Lord in the Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, but, you know, that spiritual part of us died back there in Genesis. That's why Jesus said you have to be born again, because it's dead, lifeless. His Holy Spirit, something happens when you become a believer where the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you. It's not just, I follow religious rules or I go to church. It's a supernatural thing that happens. Listen, this Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, we who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. This is something that when I think of being in something to be saved, I think of Noah's Ark. Okay, when I think of being in something to be saved, the Old Testament provides me a cool picture of being in something to be saved. Now, there's two verses that I think of that are really profound to me. One is Genesis 6:14, and one is Genesis 7:16. And here's the reason why. This is what it says. And if you have the Bible, man, I would underline or highlight. You do whatever you want, but Genesis 6:14 says this. So make yourself, he was talking to Noah, right? He's going to flood the earth, right? The wickedness of man was so severe, right? It was terrible. But he says, I'm going to save, you know, Noah, I'm going to save you. I want to save your family. I want to, I'm going to save the animals, you know, whatever. And he goes, so make yourself an ark of cypress wood or gopher wood, whatever you want to call it. And make rooms in it, and then cover or seal it with pitch inside and out. Now, this is really interesting to me. So God is saying, okay, I'm going to build this ark, and I want you to seal it, to cover it, or to seal it, or to caulk it, some of your Bibles will say, you know, with pitch inside and out. Now, this is the really weird thing. That word for pitch, this is a neat thing, but a weird thing. It's almost like the writers screwed up the word here, okay? Because the word for seal it with pitch, inside and out, okay? The word for pitch is the Hebrew word kafar. And other places in the Old Testament, it means atonement, reconciliation, forgiveness, cleansing, appeasement, pardon. So, either they really messed up, or maybe God was trying to give you a message and I a message. You see, when he says, I want you to cover, Noah, I want you to go in this ark, right? I want you to be in it, all right? And when you go in, I'm going to seal it. I'm going to seal it, I'm going to seal it inside and out with atonement, with reconciliation, with forgiveness, with cleansing, with appeasement, with pardon. It's going to be sealed with that inside and out. And if you're in the ark, you are atoned for, forgiven, cleansed, appeased, pardoned. Is that not a beautiful picture of us in Christ Jesus? Isn't that awesome? That to me is such a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to cover you. I'm going to seal you. That's, to me, sounds like the Holy Spirit. Anyway, Genesis, this is from Answers in Genesis that they built
a replica of the ark.
Yeah, a replica of the ark. It's not this little cute little stubby fat thing where you see giraffe head sticking out. I mean, it's huge. It's like almost 2 football fields long. This is what it would look like, okay? So it could hold 125,000 sheep-like sized animals. Some, you know. Anyway, it's monstrous. But anyway, I think Tom wants to take the older youth there from the school there. But anyway, Genesis, it would be cool. Genesis 7:16 says this, okay? He says, They went in, male and female of all flesh, as God commanded them. And the Lord closed the door and shut him in. Genesis 7:16, okay? Okay? Now, here's the deal. I'm sure there were many people who said, why do I need to go in? I don't need to go in. It's not raining. There's no problem out here. Why do I need to go in that ark? Why can't I make my own ark? I want to make my own ark. And I want to go in that. There were probably folks that were mocking it and arguing it. You know, hey, there's lots of arcs. There's lots of ways to go in arcs, you know. I don't have to go in this one. But you do. I want you to focus right now. This is the picture of it. I want you to focus on the door for a minute. Okay?
Turn the lights on.
You want to turn the lights on for a second? Okay, now that door's not going to do anything. I don't have anything cool with PowerPoint. Nothing like that. I just want you to think about that for a minute, okay? I want you to think about that door. Because Jesus didn't say, you know, like in that earlier verse, I want you to, Noah, I want you to, instead of covering it and sealing with pitch, I want you to put a bunch of, you know, pegs at the top so that you and your family can hold on for dear life on top of the ark. You know? And hopefully with enough strength, if you have enough strength, you know, the wind and the waves, you'll be able to make it. He didn't say that. He said, I want you to go in the ark or you'll be saved. You see the difference? It's not your own strength. You have to go in and you have to go through the door. There is one way to get in that ark. If you want to be saved, Noah preached for 100 years and almost nobody other than his family got saved. So don't you feel like a failure. Okay? But there's one way to get in. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. There's one way in that ark to be saved. And there is one way to be saved. And that is in Jesus Christ. Listen to this. I want you to focus on that door and think about it. There's one way in. Jesus said something in John chapter 10, verse 9, that I love. Amen. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out, and he'll find pasture. Jesus is that door. And through his blood, you are completely cleansed, completely sealed, completely forgiven, completely atoned for, completely saved. That's why there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, man, I don't even know how long I've been talking here.
Darren?
Yes.
And it's also permanent. Because in Ephesians 1:13 it says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise.
That's right.
And that's the same type of sealing that went around in and all of the,
that's right.
The same stuff.
Yes. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Hit those lights for a second, would you? You know, just for the fun of it. I have to read a few verses. I don't even know if I wrote them down. I need, give me a few volunteers that doesn't mind reading a few verses. Okay, would you raise your hand? Okay, Adam Edemsky. Okay. Okay, I'm going to have you read John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18. John chapter 14, 16 to 18. Who else? Thanks, son. You want to try it? Okay. You can do John chapter 14, 19 to 20. How's that? Okay, Neely, I saw your hand up as well.
Yes.
I think. I want you to do John chapter 17, 20 to 21. Okay, give me a couple more. These are just quick verses. If you're all right. Who else? Okay, you see everybody? Good. John chapter 17, verses 25 and 26. And then the last one. One more. I need one more. Big John Billy? I'd like you to do 1 Corinthians 6. I think it's, I don't know, try 18 to 20. That's me. 18 to 20. Hmm. Okay? Yes, honey. Oh, good question. I think you were John 17, 25 to 26, I think. See, December, when Pastor Darren gets older, he forgets. So hopefully that's right. Okay, now I want you to listen. I want you to read the scripture verse, okay? The address, okay? The first one, because we want to make sure that we are to know that we are in Christ Jesus, okay? So we looked at Genesis verses, John 14, 16 to 18. What does that say?
14, 16 through 18.
Yeah, John chapter 14, verse 16 to 18.
And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever.
Be with you for how long?
Forever.
Oh, interesting.
The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you.
Yes. See, right now, the Lord is with some of you. You're not in Christ Jesus. I'm not saying that in a condemning way. I'm just telling you. If you haven't accepted Him, then right now, He's with you. He's convicting you of your guilt. You're already in the pit. He's telling you, man, get out. Take the rope. But once you become saved, it goes from being with you and around you working in your life to being in you. And He starts speaking up in your heart, in your mind, in your thoughts to where He's like, wait, these aren't my thoughts. Why am I thinking about being holy here? Wait, what? And He changes your thinking. He changes your direction. He changes your heart and your life and your thoughts. It's amazing. He'll be with you and soon be in you. All right, John, who has John 14, 19 to 20? Who has that one? Okay, go ahead, son.
After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. In the day you will know that I am in my Father, and you will.
Good.
And you and me, and I. And I in you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Good. Good job. What about John chapter, what did I get next? 17, 20, and 21. Who has that one? No, she had a different one. She had 25 and 26. Who had 20? Okay. Good. All right. Go ahead. Read that one. This is, read your John verses. 17, 20, 21. This is Jesus praying. Sorry. Praying for His disciples. Okay.
My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me.
See, it's not only that we're in Him, but He's also in us. It's the double whammy.
Yeah.
It's a double blessing. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, you guys? All right, go ahead. You want to read yours?
Righteous Father,
Though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in the same, be in them, and that I myself may be in them.
Yes.
And the love may be in them, and I myself may be in them. This is a Christian life. It's the Spirit living in us, yielding to His, what He wants, and His desires, and His Word. That's a joyful Christian life. That's the only way you will experience a victorious, joyful Christian life. God, last one, 1 Corinthians 6, roughly 18 to 20, roughly.
18 to 20?
Roughly. It doesn't make sense.
Flee from sexual immortality.
Immorality?
Immorality.
You want immortality?
Yeah. All, sorry. All other sins.
We know what you mean. We know what you mean. Yeah, flee from sexual immorality.
Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body.
Yeah. He is in you, guys. Listen. Man, I didn't even... Okay, so that's verse 1.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, I think we're going to stop at verse 1. But hear what the Lord is saying here, you know, when we look at this. Therefore, there is now, right this moment, right now, in your life, right this second, zero condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Picture being in the ark. Those who are in Christ Jesus. Noah, the winds, the waves were going, the earth thunder was rattling, but you know what? Noah's family and his family were perfectly safe because they had God's promise. They had sealed it with atonement inside and out. That's why you don't have to have condemnation. Now, don't get me wrong. If God is convicting you about something in your life, you better act on it. Because He wants to give you more freedom, and He wants to give you more joy, and He wants to make you more of a witness for other people than you are. He wants to bless you and use you in mighty ways. He wants you to live a life that's free. That's who your God is. But He doesn't want you to feel condemned. There's a difference. If He's convicting you about something, by all means, act on it right now. But don't feel condemned. Yes, Jack?
I don't want to leave... John 14, verse 6. This is very important.
Oh, amen, brother.
Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
There's one way, and that's Jesus Christ. Yes, Uncle Tom.
God said to Noah in 7 days to get in, and He's going to shut the door. And today is the day of salvation. You don't know if you have tomorrow.
Yes.
That door will be shut, your church is gone, you will go through the wrath of God.
Yeah.
So make your decision today.
Yeah.
Don't put it off. Yeah. It'll be too late, just like everyone else.
That's right. And I want you to think of, you know, that Jesus, remember that woman who was caught in the middle of adultery? You know, they drug her out. They were going to stone her, and Jesus wrote their names, or whatever He wrote, doesn't say specifically, and they left one by one and said, hey, whoever's guilty, cast the first stone.
Yeah.
And then He said to her, you know, who condemns you? She said, no one, Lord. And He said, and then go and sin no more. And I don't think He was saying it like we would think of it, like, who condemns you? No one, Lord. then go and sin no more. I don't think it was one of those type things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think it was kind of like sometimes we'll talk to the kids. You know, we get down here, down your level, and say, go and sin no more. I think there was a smile on his face saying, I want you to have a victorious life. I want you to have a blessed life, a built-up life, an encouraged life. That's the Father's heart towards you. So any condemnation, listen, I'm just being honest. There's something in me that eats condemnation like it's, you know, a Dairy Queen choco cherry blizzard. Okay? That's my nature. I eat it up like it's a dessert. You know, it's a self, it's easy. I will have 10 people say something fantastic. Okay? And one person say something they didn't like. You know what I focus on? That one person, why am I doing it? And I feel this whole kind of liar for a while. And it's so easy, right, to fall into that trap. But that is not from the Lord. So if you're ever feeling that, as a guy, I'm talking, son. Don't interrupt the word God, okay, honey? Thank you. When that condemnation comes in, like it does for me, and maybe it does for you, realize where that condemnation is coming from and reject it. Not on the basis of who you are, but on the basis of who He is. Not on the basis of even what you've done, how spiritual you were that day or not or whatever, but because you are in Christ Jesus. Realize that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you will just receive that one thought, that one blessing, if you will change your thinking in that one way to realize whenever you're feeling like the big fat loser that can't do anything right, just quit and give up, that is straight from the pit of hell. And you say, I might be thinking that, I might even be feeling that, but I reject that in Jesus' name. Because I trust in your promise, Lord. I trust in your word. And just as he got Noah through that door and over back onto dry land, he's going to get you through this life.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Before we close, if there's any comments that anyone has, otherwise we will pray. Does anybody have anything else that they want to share? Now, let's pray. Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name for all those who got to hear this message, Lord. Lord, I'm praying for all of them, Lord, to take this message to heart, Lord God, to remember that we are sealed inside and out if we are in Christ Jesus, Lord. And there is no condemnation. Because you've already paid that price. You've paid that penalty. You've taken the guilt upon yourself. You've taken the humiliation. You've paid it all. We're not guilty anymore. We're justified by faith because of you, Jesus. And we say thank you. Help us to live that way like there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And for those who are experiencing it even now, that they would reject it in Jesus' name. And say, no more, this day, no more, Lord. And walk in the freedom of the Spirit that He's given you. That you won't listen to those lies that the enemy is trying to hold you down with in that pit. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name if there's anyone here who doesn't know you yet, Lord God, that they're already condemned, Lord. They're condemned to hell. They're condemned to a terrible life of self-centeredness, Lord. Self-focus that will have ripple effects for everyone they touch and everyone they come in contact with, Lord. Whether they see it or not, I pray that you give them eyes to see it, Lord, and that they would say, Jesus, I realize what a wretched man I am. I want you to come into my heart and my life, and I want you to save me, Lord. I am in a pit. I realize it, Lord, and I want out. I want to bring my deeds out of the darkness into the light, and I want you to save me, Lord. Please send me the rope and pull me up, Lord. I want to live for you all the days of my life, Lord. I know you died. I know you rose again from the dead, and I want to live that new risen life, Lord. Will you help me to do that as best as I know how right now, Lord? I ask that you would do that in my heart and life. And I pray if there's anyone here, Lord, who doesn't know you, that that would be their prayer right now, Lord God. Lord, that they would say, save me, Jesus. I need you. I love you. Help me, Lord, and save me, Lord. And that you would do that. And that they would share that choice, that decision that they've made today with someone else in this body, Lord. So that we can come alongside them and encourage them and bless them and help build them up, Lord. I thank you for this body, and I ask right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that everyone within earshot who has heard these words, we take them to heart, not just this week, not just this month, but for this life. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we say this hallelujah in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day in Jesus' name.